Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Excuse the gloom, but none may know of this meeting. The nature of my trouble is darker still. Over a year ago, King Lysandus of Daggerfall died honorably on the field of battle. He was as loyal a subject, ally, and friend as you are.
Oh, yes.
Oh, excuse my gloom.
Yeah. Jeez, buddy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. This is where we talk about old-ass video games. I'm Scott Johnson, one of your hosts of this show. And I just got back from 1996, where we were told, or sorry, where we were totally cool with pixels over polygons. All right? We were fine with it. That meant our games could be 9,000 times larger than now, and you could stabby longer. All right? You can fit 1,000 Skyrims inside of Daggerfall, so get ready to lose yourself and more hours than you've ever been live up to this point, just to save Tamriel from ultimate destruction.
Oh, man, this place is huge. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And as we heard earlier, excuse the gloom, but we have to keep this on the down low. Just you, me, in an all-encompassing darkness in this fire starter, so you can see my full MV. Oh, and here's a teeny little quest in the largest CRPG world you are likely to explore from the mid-90s to get you started. Now off! You know what to do. What? You didn't read the 90-page manual? Yeah, you're so screwed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm off to bed. Firestarter, put it out!
Yep.
Excuse the gloom. I want a shirt that says excuse the gloom. How could I've never heard another nerd? That.
Yeah, no one ever
I've
says
never
it.
I've heard another nerd utter that phrase to me.
Well,
what?
Think about it. There's not no one memes on Daggerfall's intro video. It's not really a thing, you know.
But that's stupid.
I agree. It is pretty great.
I mean, that guy is standing there and he's got a torchlight and you're standing next to he's the emperor and you're in a toilet and y'all are in there having a secret meeting. Why the emperor has to have a secret meeting in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then you got Ibbot over there with a evil Ibbot on top of that. Cause he's like Brian Ibbot bald head. But yeah. He's got an evil goatee and he's got the light and when they turned it was
so far. So far, you're just describing Ibbot once again. You're just fully describing Brian Ibbot, not as evil.
Yeah, yeah. It was so good. I was blown. I didn't know that was going to get a full motion video at the top of it.
I don't remember that at all. I had this game, played the hell out of it back in the day, and I don't remember the video at all. I know I had it on. I did have a CD-ROM version of the game. Maybe all you could do. I don't remember.
Only Daggerfall. Daggerfall.
Yeah.
So Daggerfall only came on a CD. Because it would have been 300 floppies.
Yeah.
Because it was huge. Now, Arenas, the one prior, the Elder Scrolls 1 Arenas, which would have fit on 7 floppies, I think. 7 or 8 floppies. I did that one too.
It was still pretty big, whatever. That game. That game ugly fugly now, that first game.
I want to talk more about that. But yeah, I don't think so. You know what? Actually, I like the style. There's a darker, moodier style about Arena that's just not there. It's they went for the brown is the new black in Daggerfall.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of telling you, I kind of like the character models and the vibe look of Arenas. The gameplay not nearly as good.
Yeah, the gameplay is pretty bad. I will say, I mean, the original was much more like a traditional dungeon crawler, right? It was more about being in the same dungeon, having a really intricate map about where you've been and where you're going in that dungeon.
Yes.
Closer to something like, I don't know.
There's a lot of clues along the way too. It is definitely a different game. And from the developer standpoint, they said they made Arena so they could make a real game because they learned, you know, you learn
from what you're doing. First one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, anyway, you didn't know how to make a game.
This game is a big deal because, lots of reasons. We're going to get to all of those. Before we do, though, a couple quick things. Did you see the Sega handheld that'll take cartridges, Genesis cartridges?
I'm so excited about the Hyperkin. I like Hyperkin. I got some stuff by those guys, and everybody's been talking about it. It's a handheld device. You can plug Genesis cards in, a la the Nomad. Remember the Nomad?
Just like the Nomad, right up
just
top.
Like the Nomad, baby.
Yeah.
And you know, it's got a nice little controller shape to it, and I'm super excited about it. I'm looking forward to portable Genesis games.
We don't have a price yet, do we? Or do we?
Let's see. If I had to guess, I'm going to say sub 100. Okay. Hyperkin's they're not the type to really go really hard flash. You know what I mean? You're not going to find too many Hyperkin products that are over $150.
Yeah, it probably won't be too bad. And based on this image, it looks pretty good. It looks like, you know, they went with a 6-button controller layout. They decided to make this thing look like a literal Genesis button or a Genesis 6-button controller split in half and then put a screen in the middle. Yeah. The fact that it takes actual cartridges, I'm sure this thing can be hacked to also take your ROMs or even cartridges full of ROMs. In fact, I'm sure that's the first thing people do is just buy those.
Yeah, ROMs. Hyperkin's usually pretty good, and the community around that stuff gets BIOSes out pretty quickly that will probably make the built-in one look like poo-poo.
What's the most you'll pay for this? What money will you spend?
Oh, I definitely would not go over 125, but I doubt it's going to be that high knowing Hyperkin's stuff. Now, really? I'm a hardcore dummy. So
what if it's $100? That's perfect, right? I'd do that.
If it's $100, I'd do $100. No problem. 125. Yeah. Because there's other products on the market out there. Hyperkin's just got the biggest buzz. There's already other, handhelds like this that take Genesis carts. They're not as nice.
Yeah.
They don't have the Hyperkin, you know, name behind them, but you know, they're, you know.
Do any of these have any of these have, let's see, what am I looking for here? I'm looking for USB-C charging.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Built-in rechargeable batteries, that kind of stuff. Absolutely.
They do have something called the Super Boy, which is a Super NES equivalent to this, and that sells for $120. Yes. So the thinking is we might be around $120 for that thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, Hyperkin's typically their $150 would be the top end of most of their stuff.
Yeah. Look at that. Kind of want that.
You should get that as well. Now, I can't wait because I got my analog pocket on the way. That is very pretty, though. I love the Hyperkin look. It is, they got their own style.
Yeah.
And the stuff has all been pretty decent that I've had. But you got to be careful, man, because I had a Hyperkin, I forget what Hyperkin thing I had, but I didn't have the original power adapter, but I thought I did. And of course, the plug was the right kind of plug, and I plugged it in and it zapped it. And I'm like, oh no. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, come on. It wasn't that much difference.
I don't love hearing that. That's bad news. That's not good news.
Yeah, just make sure you keep all your cables with your Hyperkin stuff. But look at that. You got your plugins on the front of that thing for your original console controllers as well. I don't think that's going to be on the Sega one.
I may have to pick this up.
That's pretty cool, though, isn't it?
Do they still sell those legally dubious cartridges that are just chock full of ROMs? Is that still a thing?
Absolutely. You can totally find those. Yeah. Yes.
This probably even says often bought together or something. I can't find.
Yeah. Yeah. The Superboy kind of makes me feel like, you know, for a while. What's his face? Why can't I remember his name? Superman. What's his name? The one that did the song.
Christopher Reeve.
Why am I thinking?
Oh.
No. The artist, the musical artist.
The artist formerly known as Prince. I don't know. I have no idea.
No.
I'll have to
come back to me later.
All right.
Come back around later. I'll figure it out.
My only concern about this one.
The Superman. Superboy.
The Superboy. The only concern I have is I don't think that screen looks very big. How big is that screen?
It's not. It's not very big.
I don't want like bigger it bigger than that.
Look at that D-pad.
Yeah.
Look at that D-pad.
Look at it. I kind of want one, though. I'm not going to lie. Oh, it even takes actual controllers?
That's what, yeah. Right out on like Earlight.
Oh, I see. You did say that, but I thought you meant, I don't know what I thought you meant. I didn't realize it was like right there in front. Holy shit.
Yeah, on the front.
Holy shit. All right, I'm doing it.
Is that cool? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
I'm saving my money for the Sega Genesis one, though. But I saved my money because I just ordered the analog pocket. I'm pretty excited about that.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, give me it. But that doesn't take carts, though, does it?
This does. Yeah, you put a cart right in
the back. Where the hell are you going to stick a Super NES cart in that thing? That thing is...
Did you see back there? See that
let's
little...
Let's zoom back over it again. Let me see. Is it on the bottom?
No, it's on the bottom. It's on the top. So if you see those two little claw things... Here's an image down here with a cart
in it. Claw.
See here? These people have...
Oh, it must be a fatty on the back then. I got you.
Yeah, you stick your little fatty in there. I don't know. That screen looks pretty big.
Yeah, it's not quite as big as a cart, an SNES cart. It's close to it, but not quite.
Why do I want these things?
Maybe about three-fourths the size of a cart. That's not bad.
Why do I want these things? Everything I would ever need to do here, I can do on a Steam Deck. Why do I even care?
I've said it before. I love my Steam Deck, but dadgummit, is so big.
It's the size doesn't bother me. It's just there's something neat about having this little thing. I don't know what it
is. A dedicated device. To doing something dedicated, no bullshit around, because, you know, look, Steam Deck's great. I will never say that my Steam Deck is not freaking awesome. There's a lot of updates. That's a big moving piece of machinery. This is a very specific purpose-driven device here.
Yeah.
You just go pick this thing up. You probably still have the card in it from where you played it last time,
yeah.
And you're playing it.
Yeah. And then there's, so here are some of these mini games on a cartridge games. It's a little expensive. Jeez.
Well, some of those are LED lit. Look at that. Well, they're probably going to be about that anyway, because, the EverDrive. Yeah, you're going to pay some money when you start getting into the EverDrives.
Why EverDrive? Why are they more than others?
Oh, my, because it high demand, well-built, and it's also according to which one you get, how many features you get. See that one right there? It looks like a knockoff to me. I don't know if that's a real EverDrive there. $67.99. It looks like bullshit, especially with that 2-star rating. What did somebody do? RetroTech, is that who does it? I don't think it is.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to have to look at this. Well, there's your 196 games on the Genesis Mega Drive thing. That would plug right into this new thing they're coming out with, so you could do that.
Yeah, and I've got at least one of those. That use that one. That I love that thing, and the only thing I use it for is to run demos on my Mega Drive, because I'll just turn it on and I'll pick a game. It'll just run through the demo. And so I get like a bunch of different ones. I can just run demos. Like, I love doing that.
That's
so stupid. I know.
This is all so bad for me. Why am I looking at
it? It's so bad.
All right. Well, we've talked about that. Let's now talk about you and your Pokemon Gold and Game Boy Color thing. Cause you have a battery problem, sir. You got to fix.
Right. So in February. So, okay. Last year, a good friend of mine in the community sent me a whole bunch of Pokemon, all the Pokemon games they had. So I was like, oh, cool. I've been wanting to play the Game Boy Pokemon games forever. So I ordered Analog Pocket and it should be here in February. So I'm hoping to start running through all the Pokemon games. But I noticed because I can play them right now because I got a Game Boy Color and I can pop them into my Game Boy player on the GameCube. Started playing Gold. And realized almost immediately that the batteries were dead in all of them. So,
oh, damn.
No saves. Yeah. That's bad. You can't play Pokemon with no saves. You could, but nobody wants to gotta catch them all in single sitting.
Yeah.
So I had to order some batteries. And so if you ever have to do this, it's not hard to change these batteries out. There is a little bit of soldering involved, but it's very simple soldering. You can buy one of these off, wherever store you got to. Just make sure that you get the right one because different carts can require different batteries. These use the CR2025. So those coin-looking batteries, but there's something special about them. You can't just go buy the CR2025s because these solder directly onto the board themselves. Hmm. So you need one with some legs. So this is the one I got by Them Toys, and I've been fairly satisfied with this. You want to make sure you get a good one. I tested them as soon as I got them, make sure that they was reading the right voltage to make sure they weren't like dying already, because that's the last thing I want to do is get halfway through Pokemon and find out where are some cheap ones. But no, this is pretty good. Comes with the screwdrivers and stuff you can use for several different systems. So everything I needed right here for about $20, and considering I have about 5 or 6 Pokemon games.
Yeah.
Not bad.
May as
not
well. Yeah. You already said you have some plan to play all that through, right? You're going to do it all.
I'm going to play all of them. I'm going to play through all the Pokemon. I'm going to catch them all, baby. I'm going to catch them all, I hope. Yeah. That's the plan anyway.
Well, that's my goal with viruses this year. I want to catch them all. Let's get them going.
I want to catch them all, baby. Yep. Oh, I also got this, and I can't wait to talk more about it next week, but just to let you know that I did get my Mr. Reflex controller.
Oh, yeah.
And what this is a little device that plugs into the Mr. by USB on one side. And then it has ports for HDMI plugs. You're like, wait, Brian, is that video? Mm-hmm. No, this is the favored port, form factor that these old controllers plugging into these types of devices uses. So it has HDMI on one side, and then it has a receptacle like for your PS2, your SNES, and those types. And you just plug it in, and this should work on PC or anywhere, and it's a reflex adapter, about $50, and okay. It's supposed to have a very low latency, so I'm pretty excited
about that. That's the number one thing you want out of that.
And I already have what's called the snack controller, which I can plug into the Mister, and it has even lower latency than this, but this one you can plug into the standard ports on the USB and not the user control port, which means that you can navigate using the controller, so I'm pretty excited.
Did you say snap or snack?
Snack. S-N-A-C.
Like a snack. Like I need a snack. Yummy snack.
Serial number array controller. I don't know. Something like that.
Well, I'm sure that's exactly it, what you just said.
I nailed it.
Yeah. No acronym goes away safe from Brian. Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. Let's get into our main topic today.
Shall we play a game?
We sure shall. We're going to talk about Daggerfall, which is Elder Scrolls 2, or The Elder Scrolls 2. You may think to yourselves, oh, I played an Elder Scrolls game. It's called Skyrim. What are you grandpas talking about? Well, way back in the day, Bethesda, still a young fledgling studio.
Full of 20-somethings at this time, by the way. All these were just didn't know what they were doing. They were green. Yeah,
they were just stoked because they played a lot of D&D and they were like, you know what, why don't we make a game? And there were other games sort of coming out that were like this. Games like Ultima Underworld were inspiring.
Yes.
Games like, I can't think of that other one that's Dungeon Crawly. Oh, Wizardry. These kinds of games.
You just named the two biggest ones right there.
Yeah, those are very, very, very influential. And if you fired that game up, you'd hear some of this. Swing. There's some video as well. Look at this. Look at this big chain ball stick. Oh man.
More like a random number generator.
Right? Right? There's a lot of that. This game is in a lot of ways your traditional dungeon crawl kind of game. With a few exceptions. And there's some details I really liked when I fired this up this week. Now I never was able to play the Unity thing, which we'll talk about in a minute. I was only able to get the OG thing fired up and running. I also watched a ton of video. It wasn't that I didn't want to do the Unity thing. I just ran out of time. But the, for example, your bars for health, stamina, and magic or mana have never changed. These games still, to this day, you go play the most modern iteration of an Elder Scrolls game, which I guess technically is Skyrim, is a single player game, but you can play the MMO as well. They all use these same three bars. None of that has ever gone away. So in a lot of ways, this game, at least Elder Scrolls 2 in particular, really set the standard for what would happen kind of from then on.
Like this set the standard for just about everything. I think they used in the beginning when they did Arena, which is the one before this, they laid out a huge map of this world they wanted to create and invited different, just anybody in the company to come in and kind of lay out their, their lands and, the farms, anything that they could think of. And they put this on big sheets and they laid it and they put it all into the computer to make this huge, giant Elder Scrolls 2 Daggerfall. And they still use that huge map, essentially, with some, some changes, but for the most part, the same. So they've carried the Elder Scrolls has been very consistent throughout as far as that kind of stuff goes.
Yeah. And we've only, we haven't really made that many. Six is still years away.
Yeah.
So you know, five being Skyrim, four being Oblivion, and three being, oh shit, three was called
Morrowind.
Jeez Louises.
Morrowind. I thought Morrowind was the first Elder Scrolls game I played, but then I went back and looked, and I'm like, nope, it was Oblivion. And so I had to update myself on that, which means that I still have Morrowind to play, because now I have played Arena, Daggerfall, which I never played before this week. Got to still cover Morrowind. Played Oblivion, somewhat. Didn't play a lot of it. Skyrim, played tons of it. Never played any of the, well, I played a couple of minutes of the online thing. Not much of it. So I had more Elder Scrolls in me than I thought, and I was blown away by two. I installed the Unity version this week.
Yeah. It looked great, by the way. I saw a bunch of your stream. Yeah. I saw some other archive video of people doing this. It looks pretty freaking good. People have been working on that for a long time. It looks great.
Yes, about 10 years. The project leader guy, he had started about 10 years ago. He was making tools for, it was called Daggerfall Workshop. And so he was making tools to deconstruct Daggerfall. And then somewhere along the ways, it became obvious that they needed to put this thing in Unity. And so that's what they did. They took all these assets and they basically, I still haven't known how to classify it. Is it a remaster? Is it a conversion? I don't know exactly what you would define it as, because it's got a lot of moving pieces and a lot of people involved.
I mean, it's modded. It's really just modded to hell and back, isn't it? It's just mods.
Well, out of the gate, it's very similar. The Unity version is out of the gate, very similar to the vanilla version, but with some quality of life things like better controls.
Better interface.
So uses the WASD by default instead of having to remap things. But I found with vanilla, I had no trouble. I just remapped all the keys to the stuff that I liked, like I'm used to, and it was fine. So I played vanilla and Unity, and I'll be honest with you, I felt more attachment to the vanilla version, even though I was blown away by the Unity version. With that being said,
the Unity version looks a little plasticky, is my only complaint. It doesn't feel that retro. It feels like a weird skin on top of things.
Yes. Yeah. It is. And out of the gate, it's much less pixelated than it would be in the original, but all these mods can really pretty it up. And some of the hand painted sprites and stuff makes it look really good. But you're right, it's kind of got a plastic feel to it, but that's okay. If it definitely looks more modern, but I kind of like the old school stuff myself. But not the quality of the game stuff I like a lot. Like, there's a mod that you can get so that you can see, the health bar above the enemy, which is helpful, because when you swing in this game, it's not like a modern game where it's like, you know, oh, I swung at the bad guy, and you know, it feels like you actually swung at the bad guy. And this game, every swing is like a dice roll. It's like you swung, and then it's like, but it looks like the computer's going, I'm calculating, hold on a minute. And then you may have like struck the character or not. So there's a lot of times where you're just swinging and miss, lots of missing, especially early game until you get your skill level up. This follows the same idea as all the other Elder Scrolls along the way. The more you do something, the better you get at it.
That's still the way they do it. That's still how Skyrim was.
Yeah, still how they do it.
Yeah. Still, it's a little bit.
I was shocked.
Yeah. It's a little different in the MMO. They've changed that up a little, but it's still kind of the basis of the combat system.
I don't remember having to sleep for my skill levels to increase, though, or my
That's not Skyrim at all. There's things like that. You know, again, modern iterations on this formula have proved to be popular, and I think that they have successfully succeeded in many of the things that were bothersome about the older games. This Unity conversion goes a long way to help the classic game fit some of those modern conveniences. But for the most part, and I think I'm happy to say this, and you actually played the Unity version, I watched a lot of it. It seems like fans like it, like they're happy with it. They don't feel like this is overdoing it. They've kind of gotten what they want out of a
Yeah.
Fixed.
And I think the biggest thing is during this time when the vanilla came out, Bethesda 1.0, which is the version I downloaded and played, it's got some bugs, not super buggy, but it's kind of buggy. They shipped out, they did something that you wouldn't see much of in 1996 because it was such a large game. They would ship out patches on floppy disk.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't patch anything, but the Elder Scrolls 2 Daggerfall, if you're planning on playing the something like 400 hours worth of possibilities, you're definitely going to want to play the Unity version.
It's so big, you guys. It's so big.
Yeah. It's a lot more stable and a lot less chances of things going wrong. You got quick saves in Unity as opposed to you got to save the hard way in the old one. There's been more than one time that I made a boo-boo this past week when playing vanilla. I'm going, oh, shit.
Got to save scum your way out of these problems, Brian. Always save scum. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
I don't either. And the Unity version makes that much more obvious and much much faster. One thing you want to do immediately, though, is you get an option to turn on nudity or not for your ragdoll.
Yep.
I recommend you turn it on because you don't want to see that.
Yeah. No, you don't want to look at that. Who wants that?
Actually, I think it's turned off by default and you can turn it on.
Yeah. Now they mod Skyrim so that people are naked in Skyrim. It's what
people want, Scott.
Yeah, you got to give the people what they want. Look, here's the thing. This game, we haven't really gone into this too much, but you're right. There's 400 plus hours of content if you want to go do it all. You might say, well, I did 300 at least in Skyrim. No, I understand people did that. But let's just talk sheer size difference. Not even close. A game like Skyrim, which is the most modern version of this. I didn't check what the comparison on the MMO is, but it's still smaller.
Right.
And it's pretty massive. Skyrim, for example, looks like a tiny postage stamp on a blanket. If you compare it to the size of Daggerfall, it's just this little blip inside of this thing. And no one ever once said to themselves, boy, Skyrim sure is tiny. Well, of course it's not.
Yeah.
But this game was like, you know what? It's all 2D. It's all flat texture stuff. It's not like we have to worry about a bunch of geometry or a bunch of stuff that would normally require a ton more disk space or a lot more install or whatever. And they could do it. And there's something really rowdy about that. Something really like daring about making something that large that you know
or
90% of your player base is never going to see it all. Like, I like that.
And I read some of the interviews with the developers, and that was one of the questions they kept asking themselves because they had the ability to, so they would generate things procedurally. So what they would have handcrafted stuff as part of the main quest line, which is pretty short. And then they had procedurally generated things that would basically allow you to, you know, go into dungeons, you can join a guild, go to the bar. And there's so much of this stuff where you would go into dungeons and things, and it's all procedurally generated, including the houses and stuff. So some of it feels kind of, you know, ganky. It doesn't, you go in, and it's like, well, this looks like today I built this, you know, it doesn't make any sense at all. And, how did I get stuck in this place with this floor switch now that I cannot run back, and get back on the freaking, lift.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that stuff. So it is, they asked themselves, the developers did, are we making it as large as we can for the sake of making it? Because we can. Because at some point in time, what's the quality of running some of the procedurally generated things?
Right.
You know,
right.
It can be frustrating.
You're
stuck somewhere.
Yeah, you're totally right. And the cool thing about today is there's so much they can do to optimize for space. Also, we can accommodate a lot more. We have multi-terabyte drives. We're meant to download 100 gigabyte games sometimes because that's just the way it is. I think the original, let's see. I wrote this down and then lost it. Daggerfall disk size.
Yeah.
Or install size. So this is a really small, now at the time it seemed huge. Like, whoa.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? That's too big, you know?
At the time, Scott, it was huge because this is 1996. We just got consoles that were using CDs, right? I mean, because 95 was our PlayStation 1. I mean, we were still early on. You didn't necessarily even have a CD-ROM in your computer, and you might have to get one to install Daggerfall because the game before that, just 2 years prior to this, was Arena, and that fit on 7 floppy disk.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're talking about hundreds of floppy disks. Mm-hmm. Plus, that's compressed and being decompressed onto your hard drive. So, yeah, it's huge. It's
here, huge. I found it. The in total, in the original form, not with all these mods, not with all the tweaks and everything, because obviously that adds space, but the original was 190 megabytes.
Yeah. To put on your, if you were lucky in 96, what, to maybe have a 512
96. Hard drive. I mean, I'm trying to think. What would be? What was the common size then? It would have been, yeah, like something like in the 500 megabyte was common.
Yeah, yeah. So it's gonna hurt. It's gonna rack up, right?
I'd love stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's that. It was huge. It was, and it was a lot of. I was surprised there wasn't more full motion video though. I'm like, wow, y'all set up everything for a video clip, and then y'all don't really do anything else with it. All right.
Now we have an official list sent here by Taz just now. About the largest open worlds ever made in video game form. Yes. It is not as high up on the list as I thought it was going to be. I'm just going to start with number 20 and move down. Okay.
Right.
Now, note that most of these are much more modern games, well after 96. Some of them very recent, in fact. But at number 20.
I think most of the claims were at the time. I think that was how they usually.
Right. Which is a fair way of doing it. Right. Let's see. By the way, the smallest on this list at number 28. Is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which is crazy to me because I played so many hours of that game. It feels humongous, but it's only in actuality 49 miles square miles. There's nothing. That's nothing.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I think Daggerfall, they compare it to the size of, is it just England or the whole, I can't remember. It's supposed to be pretty big. I know that I got lost and I walked forever. There are no roads.
No roads. Nope.
No roads.
Nope. And no helpful signs. Occasionally it's a, kind of story driven thing there is, but for the most part, you are very lost in this game and you kind of need to know where to go and you need to have friends who are playing it and you need to have, Usenet access at the college so you can find out all the little secrets and freaking ASCII form. Those were the days, right? Yes. World of Warcraft at number 6 and or 26, by the way, at 80 miles is all square miles. And that's insane to me because that game is monstrous.
It feels big. I think it's because you don't get fast travel. Like in this game, thankfully, you pretty much get fast travel out the gate. As soon as you get out of the first dungeon, you can fast travel. It just costs you a couple of gold pieces. As a matter of fact, if you want to live dangerous, you can camp out in the wilderness and it'll cost you no gold at all. Yep. But yeah, like in World of Warcraft, though, until you get a mount or something, you're walking, you're hoofing it.
You're hoofing it a lot.
Literally for some reason.
It just seems crazy to me. But anyway, here we go. 20 through number one. Xenoblade Chronicles X, 154 miles. Burnout Paradise, 200 square miles.
Now, that makes sense that a race car game, because you're covering so much ground so quickly.
Yeah, and you need, exactly. You need to have, it needs to be spread out. You're right.
Right.
Death Stranding, you played that. 230 square miles at number 18. Nice. At number 17, True Crime, Streets of L.A. It was an old PlayStation 1 game.
I remember that game. I love that game. That is one of the bigger games where they got like all of L.A. mapped in there.
Oh, here it is. PS3 and Xbox 360. I forgot that was then. Anyway, that one is 240 square miles. Just Cause 3 and 4. Both are the same, 395 miles each. Those are great games. Test 3 in particular. Test Drive Unlimited 2, 618 miles. So, again, driving. Mm. Final Fantasy 15 with 750 square miles. Yeah. Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which is the newest Ghost Recon game at 781. The Crew, another racing game, 1,900 square miles. Fuel, which I don't even think is still... I thought they shut that down. But anyway, this game called Fuel 10,000.
I remember Fuel. Yeah.
Guild Wars Nightfall. It's the original Guild Wars expansion. 15,000 square feet.
Miles.
Miles, sorry. Not feet. Miles. number 9, Atlas, was 17.3 thousand square miles. Elder Scrolls 2, Daggerfall, at number 8.
Wow.
63,000 square miles.
Oldest game so far that we've talked about. I believe.
So I think it still is going to hold this record because now we jump back up to the modern 2020 era. At number 7, Microsoft Flight Simulator with 197 million now, square miles.
That makes sense because it's the whole planet, right?
Yep. Guess what has Minecraft? This is crazy. Minecraft has.
Yes.
It's how Minecraft does the math. Okay.
So. Another procedurally generated world, right?
Right.
That's how you get away with it.
And the way it does the math about where you are when you're there and how it keeps stuff in memory, it's very different. But 1.5 billion square miles.
Yeah. See, and with AI getting better and better all the time, these are becoming even larger and even more interesting and maybe even like generated on the fly. So it could be infinite amounts of size.
Now, guess what number one is?
Am I heading to space?
Yes, or is this? You're in space at this point.
Okay.
I'm in fact, space. your last four.
No Man's Sky?
I'm sorry, your last five are all space ones. So you go Star Control 2 for 3,800 planets, which have all their own stuff in there. Starfield, 1,000 planets. Spore, 120,000 planets. And at number one, or number two, Elite Dangerous, 400 billion stars.
Oh, is that all?
That's all. And then No Man's Sky is number one.
With number one.
255 galaxies. Now, you might say, 255 galaxies? That doesn't sound like that many galaxies. Dude, do you know what a galaxy is, first of all?
Just one galaxy is enough.
Yeah, and again, back to your procedural generation stuff, right? There's a bunch of that in there.
That's where you got to ask the question, because like I know like my son Drew, he doesn't care for stuff like No Man's Sky because he feels like it's too sparse. I personally feel it lends itself to the gameplay, and I like it. And so at some point in time, you got to ask yourself, how does Daggerfall stack up? Because I'm sure a lot of people have played it and went, well, I feel like I'm just really just kind of doing the same thing over and over again. Now, sure, the quests seem like they're new, but they're really just, you know, cycled through. And you walk into a freaking, a tavern, and instead of having a bartender behind, you know, a custom, you know, nice little bar or anything, he's just standing out in the middle of the room with his 2D spriteness Doom, where you like walk around him and it's like, can I see behind you? Why are you constantly looking at me?
Just rotates.
You know, he's got his, he's rotating around to follow you.
Yeah. Real basic stuff. Yeah. But again, that was kind of the standard then too. There wasn't a lot of 3D happening, you know.
But the game loop is so much fun. You go in, you get a quest, they give you some flavor text and they give you some directions, and then you have a certain amount of time to do it. And I think this is probably one of the reasons why the time frames are really short since you got fast travel. There's a lot of quests they'll send you on, and you can fast travel all the way across Tamriel to do something. And all it'll do is it'll penalize you through time, right? Even though you don't have to experience that time real time, you get penalized. It's like, oh, you got 43 days, but it takes like 20 days to get there.
They want to encourage you to travel when you can, and it doesn't really ding you.
Travel by horse, boat.
Yeah.
How do you get a horse? I couldn't get a, by the way, we haven't talked about it. There's a lot of DMs.
Real quick, before you get to that, I almost forgot to mention this. Yeah. The reason I wanted to bring this up, if you take out all space or air travel, then it's the second largest game still to this day. The first being Minecraft. But if there was no Minecraft, we go back to 1996. And Daggerfall still got its record, basically.
It's doing it. And the development team, some of the guys from the original, including Julian LeFay, who is often, you know, thanked for being the father of the Elder Scrolls. You know, there's plenty of people involved. Part of a new company called The Once Lost Games. Him and some other developers from the original Elder Scrolls is working on a game that's supposed to be even larger. So it was like, hey, hold my beer. The Wayward Realms should be even bigger. And it's kind of the same idea, procedural generation. And I'm kind of curious what's happening now, because right in the middle of building this, they're doing it in the Unreal Engine 5, from what I understand. Right in the middle of building this thing, they've been doing it for, you know, probably 5-6 years or something. And, you know, all of a sudden, AI becomes a huge thing, and it's getting put into all of these game engines. I'm curious how far they've gotten set back to try to adjust to what's going on. I hope this doesn't kill the project, because it's always super tempting as game developers, when you're working on something long-term project like this, that when the technology changes, you're like, oh shit, we need to move all our stuff into this, and that can really put you back.
Oh, for sure.
Sometimes it's necessary.
It's part of the reason. It's part of the reason why, you know, everyone complains that Starfield was basically an example of Bethesda relying on that engine they've been using since Skyrim for too long. Like, you need to get with the times, update, less load times, you know, more blah, 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 whatever, shake it up some, which I totally get. But It when you're talking about games the size of the games they make,
yeah,
you're asking a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. And this was not the first time this particular game engine, by the way, that we're talking about with Elder Scrolls 2. This engine is using, they used with the Terminator games, yeah, which I never played. And now I desperately want to play because I'm kind of in love with this stupid, dumb X engine. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I kind of like it.
Yeah, me too.
I kind of like it.
I wouldn't mind somebody taking this engine and just building an entire new story, content, characters.
Yeah.
Like, I like the look of it. And I don't even mean this Unity one. I kind of like the look of the original.
Right.
Make that widescreen. Pixelate all you want. I don't care. Go for it.
Right. It feels very similar to like, first of all, I think it was one of the first engines to use Mouse Look. Thank you for giving us Mouse Look. God, thanks, thank you. We hated it at the time at first, but once we realized, oh yeah, this is the way to go, Doom implemented it. And so you can really kind of see this as a kind of somewhere between Doom and Quake. This engine seems to fit very nicely and it feels so much faster and smoother. I like the engine. I could do all kinds of stupid things with it. I love it.
Yeah, it's cool. I've been playing a lot of games lately that just do not rely on fantastic modern graphics to make the gameplay work.
Yeah.
I guess that's what our retro show is about in some ways. It's like, back when we had less capability, how did we achieve the fun? How do we achieve the sense of adventure? How did we achieve that stuff? And I'm in the mood for new things based on that old way.
Yes. And I like, this brings all this stuff. It brings you gotta roll for your characters. You get to pick stuff about your characters. You can do the classic, which I don't think they've changed necessarily throughout the Elder Scrolls, the questionnaire. So when you first build a character in the Elder Scrolls games, same in the first one as well, Arena, you can do it a couple of ways. You can choose your class, or you can go through a series of questions and the class will be chosen for you from a smaller pool of classes.
Right.
And then you can name your character, roll your dice. Don't like your roll, re-roll it, up your stats in certain areas, especially in these types of games. Early on, you're going to start out in a dungeon. So you better make sure that your character either you're really good, with skills like spells or, archery, or you need to make your character really strong, above 60. So you have to pump your points up so that you can get, enough health and stamina so that you can wield your way through these dungeons. And so like I said, it's such a simple game, and the game loop is a lot of fun. Bashing newer games, love newer games, love complex systems, but there's something fun to be said about just popping in and playing Daggerfall with my friends. It felt exactly like that. Like when I was playing this week streaming it on Twitch, it felt more like just hanging out with friends and playing games because I guess maybe the mechanics were so familiar to me that I didn't feel like I had to think too terribly hard about them. Yeah. I didn't feel like anybody was judging me.
Well, and this was advanced gameplay in 96, this was breaking rules and breaking new ground and everything else. And I don't think people, I think it's easy to forget that then this would have seemed like, oh, these systems are so deep. And now everyone does go talk to an NPC and get a quest. Every game ever.
I was shocked. I guess if you're listening, you're probably going, well, geez, Brian, won't you just, make love to Daggerfall? I think the problem was I went in thinking Daggerfall was going to be crap. And I was like, prove me wrong. And I felt like it did. And so I got to give it as props for being good. Yeah. But I also recognize a huge amounts of flaws. Lots of bugs, some fun bugs to find too. Like I was playing vanilla, and we had, I had rat mining going on. So I found a rat and he was like behind a crate and I accidentally turned on pickpocketing. So you can turn on with your function keys, F1 through F4 in this game by default, you can turn on, what you do with your hands while you're fighting or anything else. You can choose to inspect things or to grab things or to steal.
Yeah.
And so I accidentally hit F1 and I was stealing everything and I didn't realize it. And I got into a battle with a rat and he was behind a box and I kept swinging, but I didn't realize I was also robbing him at the same time. So it kept popping up. You stole 5 gold. I'm like, what? Where'd I get 5 gold from? And then I realized, oh, I'm getting it from this rat. And since I couldn't kill him and he couldn't kill me, but we were interacting, I was getting notes from this rat. He was supposed, he had a note he was sending to somebody. I was collecting gold. I was collecting stealing experience. I mean, I was just, I stayed there for a good 20 minutes rat mining, and it benefited my character greatly. I like those kind of bugs sometimes. They're kind of
fun. Yeah, that stuff can be fun. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes they're exploits, but I enjoy them while they last until someone patches that crap out. But yeah, the game deserves just a ton of credit for breaking new ground and really becoming, well, it was the moment everybody went, ooh, this Bethesda company, this is one to watch. And they were a freaking juggernaut. You know, what did Microsoft buy them for? $30 billion or some crazy number?
Yeah. I don't remember what it was. And boy,
no, it was
a lot of
that.
These games, can't a lot remember. Of the, I think, yeah, I can't remember. It was some outrageous number. Totally worth it, if you ask me. And I'm glad, because it seems like, for the most part, Microsoft has kind of, you know, just kind of said, hey, you're doing what you're doing, keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So far, that's been good.
Yeah.
And from the outside perspective.
Yeah. And it's also, it speaks to the, I mean, take Unity's recent issues out of the window for a second.
Yeah.
Unity's very good at this sort of stuff. People converting to that engine to retain something or to improve something. It's pretty rad at that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
It is really good. Yeah. It makes me mad that they have to have these, you know, they got new leadership in.
Well, the new guy seems better than the last.
They needed.
The last guy was an idiot, and I'm glad they got rid of him.
Yeah.
And they got, and they backed down.
They let him into a way. He needed to bring the company to making money, to being profitable at a point where investors could be happy. And so he did that, but at the same time, screwed the system up, right? The real value, not the money value, but the value of what the product is.
Yeah, especially in light of the fact that there are other competing engines that would happily take their business. And I think that they got kind of sideswiped on that, and Riccatello's an idiot. Now he's gone, and that's good. And now they're laying off people, but it's part of some big reset. But I think that reset is probably needed. But I would love to see Unity get back to their former glory. They make a hell of an engine. I play a lot of games written in Unity, and they're all
I do
real
too.
Good.
And if you're not familiar with it, just briefly, the biggest problem is that they started charging the charge structure for small developers became very burdensome, so that they basically ran all the small people out.
They were going to, and then they pulled back.
Right.
So,
yeah,
it was just bad planning, bad decision making. They've admitted it as such. It will lose them more than it will gain them. Like, it was all a mistake. It was a horrible mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does seem like they're back in the good graces of most of the people I talk to. So,
I love the engine itself. It's really, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's
good. Now, we didn't talk about it a ton, but Elder Scrolls Arena from 1994 sounded like this. It's very old school. You know, that kind of stuff. By the way, my favorite sound in Daggerfall is this. Those skeletons scare the hell out of me. They scare
skeletons
the hell out of me. I don't like them.
Are amazing. They're awesome. Now, Arena felt more like they dipped into the communal pool of sound effects from Doom,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did feel like they were open sourcing something.
Yeah.
It's okay though. Like, you're not wrong about the overall vibe of it is actually pretty cool.
It's very dark. Like, if you're wanting to play a dark adventure that doesn't play as nearly as well as Daggerfall, this is the vibe, man. Yeah. It just feels like such dark fantasy. Everything is, instead of having a lot of browns, they got a bunch, it's got black stones. You feel like you're in a sewer.
Yeah.
You feel like the characters are just, they're uglier and just, it feels like a nightmare. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm glad it exists. I could not play this though. I just couldn't do it.
Like, yeah, the mechanics are as old school as you can imagine. But we didn't talk about this, but both Arena and Daggerfall use something that people hate and probably don't remember. You'd have to hold, like, if you were going to swing a sword, you would have to hold the right mouse button and move the mouse either left, right, up, or down. And that would determine what direction your sword would swing.
Yeah.
And if you've never played a game with that game mechanic, oh my God, it is infuriating.
Yeah.
Now, the Unity version, it has it so you can just, it randomizes what type of swing, and you just hit the right mouse button like you would do in a lot of games.
Yeah, yeah. That works out just fine.
Yeah, it works a little better.
Yeah. But definitely worth mentioning. That was 94, so it's like 3 years before Daggerfall.
Yeah, just a couple years before it would be, and then we have a much larger gap after we got before we got to Morrowind. By the way, you can pick up Elder Scrolls Arena and Daggerfall on Steam or Good Old Games or directly from Bethesda. Those are all free. And then you can download the Unity version on just look for Daggerfall Unity, and you can download that. And then I use, I believe it's Nexus. I use their Vortex mod manager, and it just installs all the mods that you want. So if you want to prettify, I liked the Dreams mod, which is a mod pack with a bunch of graphical improvements. And then I did some grass improvements, and there was another one I did that allowed me to see the hit points left on other characters, which is good because you do have a little bit of control of strafing back and away from the enemy, so you can manage your number rolls.
Yeah, and they would have damage stuff, a damage bar ahead on top of their characters from then forward, though. So like Morrowind had it. All of it up through Skyrim and the MMO.
It's in line.
They all have it. Yeah. It's just normal. Real quick here, the release date for Morrowind was 2002. So, pretty good chunk of time between those two games. Yeah. And that was a big deal because that was the first game to hit consoles in the series.
Yes.
That would have been the original Xbox got that game first. Yeah.
And I think I think the Unity version also allows you to use a controller. I did not test that because that felt dirty. Mm. That felt dirty, Scott.
You didn't like the feeling it gave you, did you? Do you?
No, I liked. This is a CRPG man. I like to have my keyboard in my lap and my mouse at the ready.
Mm. I don't blame you. Get that mouse ready. Get ready to go. Well, anyway, go grab it. Pick it up. It's all free.
Free.
This is the one time we can say this. 90% of the stuff we cover, you got to go buy a version of it or some, even if it's $3, whatever, you got to go buy this old game. This game and all the stuff Brian talked about, plus the mods he added, free.
Mm-hmm. Free.
Free. Okay. So go get it for free.
Telling you, if you've ever played any other Elder Scrolls, you'll know right away that there's a legal system in these games. I think they introduced it in Daggerfall.
Yep.
I don't think you had it in Arena. But if you go peeking through people's stuff, next thing you know, the constable comes a calling, and you're gonna have to go to prison.
Yep.
And I went to prison, and you could plead guilty in Daggerfall, which I appreciate. It's like go ahead. I plead guilty. Yeah, I pilfered through that lady's drawers. Yeah,
the way it works in the MMO and ESO, I have to give the money back or anything I stole back. And if I don't have it, they send me to jail. But if I've got everything. they'll take me off the poo-poo list.
Right. It's okay. We get it.
Yeah.
We understand. Go about your way, good sir.
Even like Red Dead Redemption 2, you got to go to town and you got to pay out what you owe. Yeah. And these systems are all, I feel like a lot of these systems, they owe themselves to Bethesda ideas back in the day.
I didn't realize that this game, when I went to go grab the game off Good Old Games Daggerfall, it seems like I got the warning and I was like, what has adult content? And I'm like, what adult content? You know, it's like, yeah, they're right. I did run a lot of quests where I was killing lovers. You know, it's just like, yeah, I was like,
really?
Okay.
I don't remember there being much in there where I was like, ooh, a very adult content. I mean, I don't know.
You wouldn't. In 2024, you're probably not going to be shocked by anything that happens. But yeah, I could see where some people could be modest. I mean, you certainly can't be upset about those ragdoll nudities. I mean, it's ridiculous artwork. I mean, it's like being mad at somebody drawing.
It's not even good artwork. It's all kind of bad artwork.
It's kind of, you know, it's what it is. It's 90s artwork.
Everything from 90s games like this back then looked like your stoner friend in detention scrawling it on his desk. And it's fine. Even early Blizzard. That's all that stuff looked like. Everything looked like.
Yes.
And it was cool. It was metal, right? It was metal as hell. But everybody wanted to draw Eddie the Beast on everything. And that's how we made video games in the 90s. Just the way it worked.
We didn't talk about the music. The Unity version has some nice upgrades to the music too, but oh man, even the OG Daggerfall music is just so delicious.
Yeah. A tradition they would carry forward to all the Elder Scrolls and the Fallouts for that matter. So
yes. And just one little cherry on top of all of this. I was at the thrift store and I didn't pick it up when I first saw it, but they had a PS3 version of Oblivion. And then they had a Xbox 360 version of Skyrim. And I walked away and I was like, maybe I should have got those. You know, it's not really quite retro, but maybe. And it was like $5. And I started reading and I realized that the Skyrim version on the Xbox 360 has Kinect support.
Right.
In what way do you say? Mm. Through screaming commands. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've got to go back. So I went back the next day, picked them up. And I look forward to screaming at Skyrim sometime in the future.
I remember everybody complaining, though, at the time of release, maybe later. I don't remember. But I had a PS5 or 3 and a 360. And I remember being told that the 360 version was better and a big list of reasons why. There were all these technical reasons. And it was actually hard to patch the PlayStation version because this was back.
Yes.
You know, PS3 was using whatever that weird chip was.
Emotion
2 or whatever the hell it was. And they made it hard to do ports and all that. So they're always kind of the lesser of the two ports usually, which isn't true now, obviously. Obviously, now they're kind of on par. They're both using x86 hardware and architecture and similar GPUs and all of that. But back in the day, that wasn't true. So I remember it always being just a little bit hard to decide which way I was going to go. And then when I finally got the PC version, which is where I should have done in the first place, that was the way to go. I mean, I can still mod that version. I still have that version on my hard drive, you know?
Yep. Yeah. That's the way to go now. PC Master Race. But I do like being the PC Master Race. And I like being poked fun at in memes where it says PC owner bragging about their $2,000 machine, how it kicks $500 consoles ass.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duh.
I don't get cocky about it. I just often find that, oh, yeah, this was better. This is a better way to go.
Yeah. That's the thing. If you have the option, then I would take it. If you're financially capable of doing it and it fits into your budget, do it. But I don't judge you for playing at the console. Do what you play. You game how you want.
You know what people judge me for, though? They really do judge me for this. I prefer to play most shooters, and that includes some multiplayer stuff, mostly single player, but a lot of multiplayer stuff. Right. I prefer in with controllers now.
Yeah.
I don't even do the mouse look business anymore because it's not that I don't want to. There's two reasons. One, my wrist can't take it anymore. It just freaking hurts.
Right.
I use it too much for everything else, if you know what I mean. No drawing and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I love the feel. I like shooters with controller support. It's always been good for me since around the 360 era, Call of Duty and all of that trained me really well on those. And nowadays, if you're like, hey, you want to play a shooter? Yes. And I will pull the controller out and I will play it because that's how I like to do it.
This is not a problem, Scott. You're fine. You're fine, Scott. And the reason why is because those people who complain about that, they want to play at a competitive level. And in order, there's no arguing that the mouse is going to be a superior first person shooter tool. However, you're like me, your machine is just not a dedicated game machine. And this mouse is not, you know, super scaled in to fine controls. So this is just a standard gaming mouse that I don't use like a gaming mouse, but I will play games with it occasionally. But yeah. I'd have to fine tune this thing in. I would have to fine tune my skills with it. Whereas a controller is always the same. Controller just, it's a dedicated piece.
But it always reminds me, I always get reminded this time I saw a kid in Fortnite on a phone. All right, he's playing it on an iPhone, an older iPhone. It's kind of choppy for him.
Now, kids are an anomaly. You can't count them. Go ahead.
And he's playing this thing, and he's touch screening everything, and he wiped everybody out multiple runs in a row. And he was playing with people that were on controllers, and he had controller play, he had keyboard and mouse play, and he was still dominating these fools. My point with all of that is, could somebody conceivably beat him with a PC if they were good enough to beat him? Yes.
Only if they were another kid. You can't compete with child reflexes.
Well, yeah, that's true. You can't do that anyway.
Can't.
Yeah, what I was doing in, you know, Doom and Quake, I don't do that now.
Yeah. No.
I'm not that fast.
When I used to play at a point where I was playing competitively only in the aspect that I was playing against other people online that I wanted to beat, not that I was trying to win prize money or anything like that, then I would, you know, I had the best mouse for gaming, you know, and I had it all tuned in and everything. And I had my refresh rate on my monitor just right. I had everything, because you had, you know, making sure your latency is just right from your input devices to your network to your monitor, that you got the maximum edge. And I don't play competitively like that anymore.
Yeah. But even then, what was your win rate? What was your standing?
I was okay. When Quake Arena was around, I was TOS, baby. Yeah. I was at the tops.
Really?
I would be shoot, man. We talking about,
we should fire
a rail gun.
We should fire up some Quake 3 Arena.
I'll destroy all you mothers.
Let's do it. Let's open up a multiplayer game of Quake 3 Arena, and let's see how you're doing these days.
I mean, man, when I used to have, like, you know, 12 hours a day, this, you know, I would stay up until freaking 3-4 in the morning, play. That's all I would do, man. Yeah. Of course I was good. I was dominating.
Those are good times. I love that whole era, man. That era of shooters, dude. Unreal Tournament. I played Unreal Tournament so much that I almost dreamt in it every day. I played it so much.
You know you're doing good at a game like that when everyone's calling you a bot.
Yeah. Or
using that bot.
If you're playing at work on a LAN like I did, and I would dominate people in my office, they would get so pissed.
Yeah.
So pissed. That's how you knew you were good. Because they were
mad. That's the reason why it got much better when you start being able to see everybody else's ping. It's like, oh, good. Okay, so now I see why Scott's kicking my trash.
Absolutely. Were you playing Quake? Like, you were doing any of that live Quake stuff, Quake Live, whatever it was called back in the day? Quake 1?
I did a little bit, I did a little bit of Quake Live.
That was cool. And I think it was tied into, my memory's fuzzy, but it seems like GameSpy had some connectivity through that, and you could just launch your games through that.
Right.
That's when things started getting weird. That was a weird
time. I forgot to tell you. Did I send you some footage of this too? So I was playing Daggerfall Vanilla using an emulator called 86box. You can run it on your PC. And I was emulating a Pentium 2 200 MMX with 32 megabytes of memory. And I was using a Sound Blaster compatible card and so on and so forth. Anyway, looks amazing, including it can use some GL shaders from OpenGL, the GL shader, so you can actually make it look like it is, you know, got the curve on the monitor and stuff, and lines and everything, scan lines. It was an amazing experience.
Really,
if you got the foolish time to play around with some retro games, and you get a chance to use 86box, which PC emulator, I think 86box is a branch of that, and it's being kept up to date as opposed to PCEM, which is not being. I don't think it has any latest updates or anything. It's a solid thing. I sent it to you. I can just zip the whole thing up, because it's a virtual machine, and I just send it to Scott, and then Scott can extract it, and he can launch Windows 98 Second Edition.
Yep.
And I even included the proxy server, what was called ProtoWeb. That's a project we've talked about in the past.
Oh, right.
Where from 95 to about 2000, there's a project called ProtoWeb, where they're recreating the internet from archive and people who actually worked on the websites.
Yep.
And you can go to Bethesda from that time frame, and go to Sega from that time frame. And it's just it was a complete Windows experience.
The old websites for those companies are amazing. They're so amazing.
Yeah.
They're terrible, so much fun, but they're great. You guys,
yeah, I looked up some Daggerfall tip guides and stuff while I was on the proto web because I wanted to get the genuine experience. I looked up some interviews from that time period to see what people were saying about Daggerfall.
Yeah,
those were the days. Encompassing experience.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Real quick here, I'm going to see if I can go back all the way to the first time Sega's first website. I'm just curious. Looks like December 19th, 1996. So the year we're talking about.
That's right.
Let's take a look at on the
and this is the one they have on ProtoWeb.
Yeah, dude, this is so bad.
At this point in time, we were Sega Saturn stuff, probably a lots of it. I looked through all the Sega Saturn stuff. They had all the peripherals, and it looked such a good looking page.
Look at that link,
with all that stuff. All right, let me just take a look here.
That's so dumb.
This project does use a lot from the archive.org.
I assume they would, yeah. So this is them from 96.
This is the exact website you'll see if you're logged into that virtual machine I sent you. You just go to Sega.com. It'll show you. It'll be just like that. It'll play all the little Java games and everything.
Yeah.
Straight through your IE6, I believe, or your Netscape communicator or navigator, as it may be.
Yeah.
While you run Shoutcast.
Yeah,
some Shoutcast on your WAN app is whipping the llama's ass.
That's right.
I went full in 90s this week, baby.
I'm skipping back to other dates and I can't find them all, but
no, it's probably pretty early. I was also reading some gaming magazines. Like one of the first ones went from print to web, like around 95 or 96, and I was like, wow, that's dedication because that's still early internet.
Yeah, big time. Let's see. Mm-hmm. The year is 01. They're showing off Quake 3 Arena, funny enough.
Yeah, that's what I would have been. That's the reason why I wasn't playing Daggerfall, because I was over there playing Quake 3 Arena.
Hell yeah,
you
were.
At the time.
Hell yeah. Yeah. That game was great, although I was more of an Unreal Tournament guy, and I would make fun of people like you then, because for whatever reason, it was like Coke and Pepsi. I used to give people crap about it.
I went to Unreal Tournament as well. I played both. Like I said, I was doing nothing but first-person shooters at the time.
I mean, they were Armageddon and Deep Impact that year. They were these two games from these venerable developers. Everybody was excited about it. And Unreal Tournament was a massive upgrade from Unreal.
Yes.
Whereas Quake 3 Arena, in some ways, was a step back. It didn't have a proper campaign. It was just like multiplayer only. Their bots weren't as good. Like, there was all these complaints. But the actual, like, head-to-head arena gameplay was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
Yeah. I was mostly playing it for just loyalty reasons at the time, but I definitely understood. I definitely looked at Unreal Tournament and played it a bunch as well. Wasn't as good at it, because I think I started a little bit later than some people. So
yeah, I do.
I went to where I'm the winner. I wanted to be the big fish.
Yeah, you are a big fish in a small pond. All right,
that's right.
All right, well done. Let's move on to a little game here called Guess Our Game.
Destroy it.
This is a game we play where we tell each other the platform, publisher, year, and any other information we think is pertinent before we play the audio, and then the other person has to guess what the game is. Now, you can ask three questions once that happens, and that's all you get to guess your game. And if you get it wrong, well, then you're a big dummy, and if you get it right, then you're smart.
Wait, that's not nice.
Well, it's not nice at all, but it's up to you.
I'm a big dummy.
Big dummy.
Christ.
Big dummy. Last week, you had a good week. Both of us did. We both got it right
last
week.
We did good last week, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see how you do with this one. This is an arcade game. It is from the year 1991. It's one of my favorite arcade racing games, or at least I think it was at the time. I think today I'd probably think different. But anyway, the genre is racing.
Racing.
And the publisher here in the States is Atari. In Japan, it was published by Namco, if that helps you at all.
Namco.
Here's your audio. So it kind of just goes on like that. There's not really.
So it's no music. A race car game.
It sure is.
Now, if you had just said Sega, I would have. But it's not.
It's not. It's Atari. You know what? I'll give you another hint. This is Atari, the music it plays at the.
This end is what of... I need. The music is what's going to cue me off, because I don't think just the racing is very unique.
Well, there's no music except for when you enter your initials, and I'm going to play that now. All right,
okay.
Here you go.
Okay.
Give it a sec. It's rocking here.
Yeah. I think I got it already.
Really? You already have it. I don't even know what to say to that. All right, what do you hear there?
Because I played this not that long ago.
Okay,
but let's get some other things.
All right, you got three
okay.
questions.
I've got guesses, right? Okay, here we go. All right, was it more of a let me think. Can I put this 91
choplifter? No.
Was it choplifter?
No.
Was it did you have any guns?
You had no guns.
Oh, you didn't know guns?
Yeah.
What kind of racing game is this?
I know. I prefer, you know, give me a gun in a game and a driving game. I'm with you.
All right.
But it didn't have that.
Would this have been
a lot of screeching, as you can tell.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was listening to. Would this have been, let's see, I'm trying to think of what. Okay, so do you have to avoid any obstacles?
Other cars and tight turns and things like that.
Tight turns. So there's not like boulders falling like when you're going around.
No environmental risk.
Okay.
No, all right. Not really. That's two questions, by the way. We got one left.
And let's see. The last question is, does it kind of like pole position, but maybe an upgrade? Like a little lower angle?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's like you start at the starting line, you get a beep, beep, boop, and then you go.
Beep, beep, boop. And then simple race game.
You race, you try to win. If you don't, you put more quarters in, you race again.
Yep. Is this 1991's Atari release of Hard Driving?
You are correct. It is Hard Driving, apostrophe. It is absolutely Hard Driving. And it used a 3D track. Which had a frame. It felt like about 15 frames per second. It was really slow.
Yeah, it was very slow. And you had, didn't you have like that ugly strip down the bottom? Because it always reminds me of the other game that does have the environmental crap. Like it has like all the instrument panel down the bottom.
Oh, yeah. They did. I'll pull it up here for a second. So this thing had, I'm not a huge fan of that either. I don't love that. But the racing had, it was supposed to mimic your interior of your car, right? Here's your windshield corner and here's the things, stuff below it. But the game itself was very straightforward. It was three-dimensional. The cars you fought or raced against were also polygonal. So
That's the one.
Yeah, in some ways it's very innovative in just a few technical ways, but for the most part, it's real basic. You don't do much.
Yeah, it always reminded me of like, I was like, oh, this looks like Virtua Driving.
Yeah, a little bit. Virtua Racing is later, but it was so much better. I mean, it makes this look like grandma. It's real slow compared to that.
Yes.
But this would be, if not the first, one of the first that featured, you know, polygonal roads and objects and buildings and cars and, you know, all that. The only raster images or pixel images are the backgrounds with the mountains. That's it.
Yep.
And I think the control panel down there as well. Anyway, I put a lot of quarters in that piece of shit.
Yeah, so, I did. That was a sit-down only one, Russ. I don't think they had a stand-up version of that thing.
Not that I know of. I don't think so. If they did, I never saw it.
At least ours never had one. Ours only had the sit-down.
Yeah. I doubt that existed.
You know what I miss? I miss those... Wasn't there a Mario Kart in the arcade where there was like four machines chained together?
Yeah, there was.
I miss those.
Yeah.
I miss those.
It was called GPDX, I think.
I think you're right.
Let me look that up. Yeah, GPDX. And you're right. You could have many multiple machines connected at once. And it played just like, would this have been GameCube era?
Yes.
Something like that. So it looked like GameCube graphics. It wasn't anything
crazy. I think it was using a similar piece of hardware, I believe.
And it wasn't Double Dash. It was a special version of the game.
No.
But they had all these machines you could time together in the arcade. It was much more popular in Japan. We didn't see many here. But I think I saw it once in Vegas or something.
Yeah.
And it was maybe four of them tied together. And it was something to see. And you just don't see that anymore. Not these days. But you used to. Sega would have stuff like that. You'd have like,
I miss those.
Sega GPs or whatever they were called. There'd be like six of them. Big old monsters, dude, just in there blaring at you. I miss arcade culture. That's why I want this arcade that we're going to build.
Yeah.
Bring the culture back. I want to walk into that room and I want it to hit me in the face. I want to hear this. Where is it? Where did I put all that? Oh, I lost it. Oh, no, here it is. Ambient ambience. Nope.
Ambient.
Players.
Ambient ambience.
Here it is. I want to walk in. You know what? Let me add more. Here's more. Okay, and now to add a third one. Ryan, I want to walk in there and have it hard to hear. That's what I want.
I know, right? What? I can't. What? We got to go to the back room. I can't hear you. What?
Yeah, meet me by Rygar. What? Where's the Rygar? I mean, the joust machine? Oh, man. You don't know it's what that does for me. That just makes me feel good to play that.
We had a huge arcade down at Myrtle Beach that was right there on the strand, and it was right in the middle of everything across from the pavilion. And it always had jacked up, you know, supercharged type games like this. It's like, holy crap, I've never seen this down at Aladdin's Castle.
Yep.
You know, it's just huge, huge groups of people just jumping in there and having a freaking great time.
Yeah, it was amazing. Love that stuff.
Miss it.
Miss it terribly. So everyone, donate a couple of $1 million. That's all we need.
Yeah. We just either need one person, you know, to donate millions of dollars, or millions of you to donate just $1.
Yeah. You know what? One person, $2 million, done.
Yeah.
Two million people, $1, done.
Yes, done. Or if you can't do that math, 2 million, no, 1 million people, $2.
And you know what? There's a handful of you in our community I would immediately hire to help run the place in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so donate it, and then you get a job.
You know what? We would hire Taz to do all the art in the place, like all our signage, all our rad. God, yes. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? We would hire, I would hire personally, Zoe Brings Bacon to come and help run it, to manage it.
And she would be serving all the bacon, you know, we'd be serving pizza with bacon on it, and bacon with pizza on it.
We'd have live shows upstairs.
Yeah.
We'd have
Tonda.
Room.
Tonda's got to be there.
Bring Tonda in. All the good people.
Give us warm welcomes. He can be the greeter. Giving everybody uncomfortable greetings.
You don't even know how quickly I would pull the trigger on this if I had the money. I would do it in a heartbeat. I wouldn't even think about it. I know I went off on this last week, but it's all I can think about. All right. It's probably not going to happen before I die. Let's move on to yours. Brian, you got a platform here to tell me about. What are we doing? What's the deal?
Absolutely. So this one's a little different this week. The platform is going to be, it started out on the Mac and the Pippin.
The Pippin.
Remember
all
that
right.
thing? Remember the Pippin? The Apple gaming console, which we promise we'll make a show on that one once we get our hands on a Pippin to really give it the run through.
Love the Pippin.
Years are 95 and 96. Mac 95, 96 on the Pippin. And I will tell you that it went to other consoles too. This is a first-person shooter, and this comes from the publisher, Bungie.
Bungie. Okay.
Bungie.
All right, that gives me an idea, but we'll see if it's what I think it is. Here we go.
Now, you may have, I've never heard of this one until recently, and I've been playing it, and I really want to do more.
Okay, let's see if we can figure it out. Hold on. What year did you say?
95 and 96.
Okay.
Those are North American dates.
Oh my gosh.
You got three questions. Three questions.
Is this part of a series?
Do we do the three questions with the more stuff, or we just...
No, we still have the three questions, yeah.
Okay, good.
You just did three in yours.
Okay.
Red on Airlight. Why don't you do... why don't you tell me, is this part of a series of games?
Correct, it is. And I'll tell you already that some people in the chat room have already got the series.
Okay. Well, then the only thing I know of that they worked on, and they're making a new one, or although I heard it got paused, but they announced it like last year at the Game Awards, would be a new iteration of Marathon. So this is probably the Marathon series, but do I need to know the exact game?
I'm going to require a little bit more since there was more than one.
Okay. 95, you say?
95, 96.
Well, that would either be Marathon. I think Marathon 1 was earlier, so this would have been Marathon 2 or Marathon... What's that one called? There was a third one that had a name but not a number. It was like Marathon Ultimate or something. Marathon. Hold on. Well, I have two more questions. Let me ask those.
All right, right.
Is it the one with a number in it or without a number in it? Because that'll help me.
It has a number in it, for sure.
Has a number.
There were, was there four of these, I believe?
Were there?
Yeah.
I thought there were only three original ones. Maybe.
How about I tell you this, and then you pick from this multiple choice selection?
Okay.
Marathon.
Yeah.
Marathon 2, Durandal.
Yeah, I think it's Durandal.
Super Marathon or Marathon Infinity.
Oh, that's the one beyond. I'm thinking of is because Infinity, not Ultimate, Infinity. I think that's it. Marathon. I'm going to say Marathon Infinity. I probably have the year wrong.
Oh, so close. That did come out in 96, but it was 2.
Damn it. It was Durandal.
And I know they may use some of the same elements too, so that might have been a little bit tough. But dude,
Marathon was so cool, and yes. My first exposure to Bungie, which is why I knew this had to be a Marathon game, was Marathon 1. My second most favorite was Myth and Myth 2. Do you remember Myth? Not Myst, but Myth.
Not Myth. Myth. Yes.
It sounds like Myth. It sounds like I'm have a speech impediment.
I'd say a Myth.
Myth 2. Myth, I don't remember the sequel's name, but it wasn't 2, it was something else. Anyway,
yeah.
Those were so cool.
Yes.
And then what? After that, I knew Oni?
Nothing about these until, like you said, there was some recent announcement, I think, for some new things coming on the Marathon series. And I was like, oh, I don't know anything about that. I got to check it out.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that long till Halo happened, like 5 years, 4 years.
Yes, right.
That.
If you didn't know, Halo was forthcoming. A lot of these same people.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a PC-only thing, and then Microsoft went, ooh, we need a killer app for our new console. Why don't we pay them all the money in the world to come over here and do this?
Yes.
They should have bought Bungie, because Bungie's in a bit of a pinch right now.
Yeah.
I wish they would have, but they didn't.
They probably wanted to at the time.
Sony did. Now they own them. I'm not sure that's going to be good for them or not. We'll have to see.
Nope.
Well done. I got it wrong. You got it right. That put you ahead. Nicely done.
You were so close.
I know. I feel like
half
a dummy,
point.
Though.
Half point
Johnson. That's what they used to call me back in the day. Let's do some emails.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Well, to start with, I'll do a text. This came to us at 801-471-0462. This is from somebody named Q, and he says this: Scott, I thought you would like this. Amiga is still making computer games. You can go check it on YouTube and see them. Well, Q, I didn't know that. I didn't know you could still get Amiga games, but I guess it makes sense because I'm also being advertised right now for a Game Boy Color game I forgot the name of. Somebody else is making original NES cartridges. This happens all the time, I think. People make retro stuff, Genesis games, that kind of thing.
We've got an NES cart we need to discuss. We were sent to us not that long ago, actually.
Oh, right.
It's a new game that we need
to play.
And so discuss.
I don't have a thing to plug it into because my old NES box, it doesn't work.
Oh, so, no.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with it. Something inside's burned out.
We'll fix it.
Open it and look, I guess. But
we'll fix it.
Lazy and terrible at these things.
No.
Anyway, yeah, we still have more Amiga to cover in the future. And when we do, I think we'll probably talk a little bit about that scene because there is an interesting little indie scene around it.
These days. Yeah, I have the Amiga Mini. I highly recommend it. It was a little hard to get for a while, but yeah. I really like it. It makes me want to have a real Amiga, but I'm probably going to have to contact some of my European counterparts to get one at a decent price because I would like the A500, which was a little lower end machine that sold very well, and it's the one I feel like most people have nostalgia for. And so I would love to get one a real one. Working on it.
I would too. If I get my hands on it, I still want to get myself. I still want to get myself.
Me now, Bizarro from Bizarro World.
I want to get my hands on that Sega Genesis 2 Mini that came out that I didn't grab. I just don't want to pay all that shipping from Japan.
You have two? Why do you have two?
Well, I mean, I have the American release and the Japanese release.
Oh, all right. Well, give me your.
But
give
did
me
you see there also, there's a fan-made Sega Saturn Mini being worked on.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't know how.
Do you have a link to that shit? Something
I can see? I think it was just on, was it Time Extension? What is it? What's the name of that retro game news place that I occasionally go to? I think it's called, Time Extension.
Boy, if this doesn't tell you, by the way, we already knew the Sega Mini, the two Sega Minis and the two Mini Nintendos, NES and Super NES, both did really well. Those sold extremely well for both of them.
Yes.
If you want to go buy them aftermarket on eBay right now, you're going to spend $100 to $150 for the Genesis ones, one and two, separately, or about that same amount for the Nintendo stuff. Sony also put out that Mini. Mm-hmm. It did not do as well.
It did not. And for good reason.
You can get that on eBay for like, all of it together, two controllers, the whole device, everything for like $25.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. For good reason. That's embarrassing.
For good reason. It is embarrassing.
If I was Sony, I would be embarrassed. That's lame.
And that you think they would try it again. They won't. That's not Sony. That's not how they do. I posted the link to the timeextension.com article about a fan-made Saturn Mini in the Discord server. Also posted a marathon reveal trailer for PlayStation Showcase that was about 7 months ago, just as a follow-up on that.
Oh my gosh, look at this thing. Chat room, I want this Saturn real bad. Are you kidding? That looks amazing.
I almost pulled the trigger on, almost pulled the trigger on a Sega Saturn Virtua Fighter stick just a couple of days ago. I'm still thinking about it.
Can I get just the
control? That's hilarious. Have you seen the Game Shark meme thing? I love that.
Was
a related article.
That's pretty good.
That was hilarious.
But I want this controller. Something fierce.
Yeah. I love that controller. I'm really jealous of the Japanese colors.
Yeah.
We just got the plain old black version of the Sega Saturn, which is fine. But I love the two-tone kind of gray, dark gray that they got in Japan.
Agreed. A lot of the Japanese stuff, you know, we've talked about the Famicom and Super Famicom a lot. Mm-hmm. I love their color schemes. Totally cool.
Yeah, so good. And my God, they got all the good colors for the GameCube. They got like that orange spice stuff and everything. Oh, so yummy.
Yep. Yep. Good stuff. Thank you for that. We also got a quick email here from Greg or GFR3003. I'm not sure where he used that name. Or GMF, rather. He says, hey, big shooters. I think that's us. We're both
big
shooters.
Yep.
Says, you briefly mentioned the Taco Bell contest back in the day. I am a Taco Bell winner of an Xbox One X from that promotion.
What?
I know, right? He says,
that
the
is
legend,
wild.
He says, the legend goes, after a D&D session, we gathered at our local TB, that being, what's TB?
Taco Bell.
Oh, Taco Bell. I was thinking, of, you know what I was thinking of?
Is tuberculosis?
No, I was thinking of the, what was the old EB is what I was thinking of, electronics boutique.
Yeah,
threw me off. Anyway, he says, we gathered at our local Taco Bell for some Mexican eating. I grabbed a box, punched in the code, and sent back a link that was getting a bit nosy for the contest. Next, I received a confirmation email. I looked up from my phone and said, I think I just won. Received it 6 days before release, had keys for Forza and a bunch of DLCs. Box had a sticker on it and a nice corporate letter enclosed. Pixar didn't happen. Keep playing retro. Congrats on 100 episodes and counting. I guess that's a ding or something like that, says Greg. That's pretty great.
Dude. That is amazing. That was like the dream. I ate so much Taco Bell, not with the One X, but man, trying to get one of those original Xboxes, man.
Yeah.
God, I ate so much Taco. Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to Burger King just to buy those $5 like Sneak King and
Love the Sneak King. I got a couple of those hand, actually.
Those are hard to come by. You could sell those for a bunch, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Probably certain ones, because it's how they always do, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, we've got plenty of these, but only have two of these.
Yeah, and then it turns out you've got the plenty of ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for your email. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is where that came from. Great. And as I said before, you can send us texts and or voicemails to 801-471-0462. Our next discussion will be all about Sonic 3 and Knuckles, or Sonic and Knuckles.
That's right. So Sonic 3 is it's the reason why I labeled it as Sonic 3 and Knuckles is because Sonic 3 released 30 years ago, early in the year.
Yeah.
And then Sonic & Knuckles release later in the year. If you're not familiar with Sonic & Knuckles, it is. You may have seen the cart before. It's got a cart, and then on top of it, you can plug in another cart. The mm-hmm. other cart was Sonic 3, because Sonic 3 was released early without all of his full content because of a McDonald's promotion. And then they finished the game called Sonic & Knuckles, and you plugged them together, and you got the full experience. You could play just the Sonic & Knuckles game, but it wasn't the complete game.
It wasn't the complete game. Now, there were later versions of this game that was the complete game, and it was just called Sonic & Knuckles. Yeah, but that was later, way later.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that weirdness. It's a little weird, all right? Your third big game, and it's also not thought to be the best of the series. Two is considered the peak. And maybe Sega City.
I've heard that Sonic 3 combined with Sonic & Knuckles is the ultimate experience of Sonic. That's just what I've heard. I want to prove it.
Well, let's prove it. Let's prove it to each other. Let's prove it to ourselves. Let's prove it to the world.
Yes.
That'll be next week. Right here on Play Retro. In the meantime, I'd like to thank some brand new patrons.
19.
That boy needs therapy.
The average age of the Vietnam. What was it? Vietnam vet?
Something. 19.
Drafty. 19.
I'm such a fan of that kind of music. I love that shit.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, I love the Propeller Heads, California. I love that one that we just sang. Yeah. I like anything Art of Noise did where they put voice samples in. I love that stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Can't get so enough. Good. That boy needs therapy. I forget what that song is, but anyway, we got some brand new patrons this week at patreon.com/playretro. I want to thank, these are actually some old timers. Sean Selders, Russ Cluett, and Tom Newton. You guys are rad. Thanks for being a part of the family. Yeah.
Getting us a little closer to that arcade. We just need a few more patrons. Come on, $1. Just 2 million of you.
Just 2 million more of you at $1. That's all we need. Okay. That's all we need. So let us know if you can do that and help us out over at patreon.com/playretro. There's lots of reasons to join, none not to, all right? Except if you're cheap. Just kidding. We'd love it, though, if you did.
But if you want, yeah, and you can always, in the Patreon, you have direct access to me and Scott, because we post all of these in our feed on Patreon, and I check it all the time. And if you're like going, hey, Brian, I want to solder that battery replaced on my Game Boy Color, you can directly contact me right there on Patreon in the feeds, and I will do my best to help you out.
Yeah, you will. So watch for that. Mm-hmm. Again, it's patreon.com/playretro. Play Retro can be found on our website at frogpants.com/playretro, and we would love it if you went there as well. If you have any questions or are missing links or whatever it is you need, you'll find it there.
Ooh, a missing link.
That's right. You'll find a weird monkey that looks a little too human for its own good.
A missing link like the Wayback Machine on archive.org.
There you go. With Mr. Peabody and Quiet You, he would say. Anyway, we've been all over the place now. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Go play something retro. And we'll see you next week.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Excuse the gloom.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kayla Itzinis. I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.